right. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, if you would, please. And I am glad to be here. Thank you for coming as well. Good to see our guest here this morning. And Troy, Eric, glad to have you guys today, and appreciate you coming. And I feel like I'm part owner of McDonald's. I've gone there so much, and youth pastor for too long of a time. And it seemed like most of my meals were at McDonald's, but I do own one share of McDonald's stock, one share, and about every four months, I make about $1.38, and so it's still doing well. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'd like to thank the tour group for singing, and Grace of Truth, I'll be with my wife, and I will be with three of the tour groups this summer. We'll start off with Grace and Truth going up northeast, and then we'll be with Joyful Melodies in the Midwest for a little over a week. And then Boundless Grace will be with them at a camp down south in Louisiana. So we're looking forward to that. And I've enjoyed traveling with the tour groups these past few years, and it's helped me a lot. Not my singing, but it has helped me in many areas, one, to understand and to visit a lot of churches of all different sizes all over the country. And probably in about, with the weeks that I travel, probably 30 to 40 different churches. And what a blessing it is to visit these men. Many of them are Hiles Anderson graduates, some are not, but I think just about every church I go to, there are Hiles Anderson graduates there, and either serving in some capacity, Sunday school teacher or deacon or bus driver or some way, shape, or form, they're serving the Lord, and it's exciting to see that. And I look forward to seeing all of you one day serving in a church someplace. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Let's stand with me as we read. You'll follow along with me as I read the scripture. Verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Of course, Solomon is talking about the end of our days on earth. He calls them the evil days. And at my age right now, I don't feel like I'm old, but I am old, closer to it than I am close to young. So I'm tapping it on the shoulder as I speak. But I do believe, and I have watched a lot of senior citizens, in fact, many in this last year, go off into eternity. And it's very difficult to watch and very difficult to see. And some of you have experienced that with your own grandparents or even parents. And what Solomon called the evil days. Look in verse 2, it says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the window be darkened." It's talking about your young days now. "And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low." It's talking about your latter years. Verse 5 says, "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, the almond tree flourished, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Father, we ask you a blessing upon the message this morning. I pray that you'll use it. I pray that you'll help the young people to understand how important their future is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Titled my message is a statement I want to make. I'll start with it. I wish I had your future. Now, I don't ever want to go back to school again. Today is a blessed day because it's your last day of classes, but it's even a more blessed day for every teacher, and they don't have to put up with you anymore. But the truth is, there's a lot about youth I don't want to ever go back and relive. And I enjoyed being a youth director. And people ask, why was I a youth director for so long? And the truth is, it's because I didn't like adults. And I never wanted to become one. And I figure if I hung around teenagers long enough, I wouldn't have to, but I have had to. And but I did understand while I was young that the future was going to be whatever I made it and however I used the will of God in my life, because that choice was mine. I can do, God gave us all a free will, I can do with this body as I see fit. And usually when we do that, as we see fit, we usually mess up. But at a young age, in eighth grade, at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I remember giving this life of mine, didn't think it was much at that time, I still don't, but I gave what it was to the Lord. And because I figure whatever could be done with what I have and have had would be best in the hands of the Lord. Now, I can't say that I've not taken it back from the Lord from time to time, and definitely not lived a perfect life, not even close. But I do know that I have lived with the purpose of wanting my senior years and my middle years of life to be fruitful for the Lord. And here Solomon, of course, obviously he was trying to teach others, younger people, these life lessons, using his wisdom that you know, we've used the term, you're only young once in life. And that's a true statement. It's not a bright statement. It's a true statement, though, because it is just a dear fact. But I do watch as I even now, getting into my older years, that I do want to continue living for the Lord and want to finish well. We are about to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Hiles Anderson College, the 50th graduating class. Which is an amazing thing to me, because I can remember when Hiles Anderson College was brought up at church. I was in junior high, and I remember Brother Hiles talking about starting a Bible college. Honestly, he had just started Hammond Baptist High School in junior high, and we were just pumped about that. We were already started in the school, and now he brought up a college, and you know, and I really didn't care about that. It just didn't, college seemed so far away from me, but told us of his plans and his burden, and we started construction on Baptist City, where Hammond Baptist High School is now in Schererville. The grade school wing of that building was the first Hiles Anderson College building. And so we were all on one campus, and that's where it was going to stay, but the college began to grow rapidly, and so did the Christian school, the high school did, and there were hardly any Christian schools in all of Northwest Indiana and Southern Michigan and so forth in Chicagoland area. Just a very few, if any. And so the numbers were high because the public schools had really gone really south in their doctrine and in their lifestyle and everything. The cultural war had changed everything. So it was very popular to pay the extra money to go to a public or Christian school. And so Hammond Baptist High School, junior high, grade school was popular. Hiles Anderson College was popular. And of course, it outgrew its facilities there at Baptist City, and this campus here was purchased from the Catholics, the Capuchin Seminary. And which was interesting to me, I grew up over the hill here about, if you just were to go straight, probably a mile, maybe a mile and a half over the hill, and all this area, there were no houses here then, and it was all hunting area and fishing area, and we used to come fish in this lake until these guys in long robes would come chase us out, and then we'd sneak back in. But we just figured they couldn't run as fast in the long dresses. But This area here was where we grew up. And then Hiles Anderson came of age to where it owned its own property and building, and this is where we've been. I looked through the second yearbook this morning real early and reliving the people that were once here that sat in the chapel where the rec center is now and then moved over into this building. And Dr. Robert Billings, who helped start this school and started Ham Baptist Schools, then came and started Hiles Anderson College. Dr. Evans, who also came and started the school now. And, of course, Dr. Evans is in bad health at this time, and Dr. Billings is in heaven today. And Max Helton and others that were part of the infrastructure of the early days of this ministry here. And it's hard to believe 50 years now is come and gone. And, you know, honestly, when I was in junior high and this college was started, you know, I never thought about being in the grandparent years of my life. That didn't cross my mind. And the thought of being old was really too far away to even comprehend. I was just trying to get out of junior high. But the fact is, you know, it was the best 7 years of my life. And to get to the place now to where you look back at what all God has done in this world through this place and the vision of Dr. Jack Hiles, I'm so glad that many, many of the young people that once sat here got it in their head and got it in their heart to serve the Lord with their lives. Now, that's not true for everyone, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot. And a lot have done some wonderful, wonderful things in their lives. As I went to the office early this morning and got there and prepared my final exam for my class here on youth work and then started to review this message, my wife called me and I said, "What's up?" And she says, "I hate to tell you this, but Wally Ferris went to heaven in his sleep last night." You don't know Wally for the most part, but he worked at Atlas Transmission down the road here. Was in my youth group. His son was about to graduate from Crown Point High School in just a few days, and I'd been in his shop a few times trying to get him back in church, and he was so excited about his son graduating, and he was so excited about his son's future, and telling me about the graduation party. And you know, the length of days on Wally's life, not going to happen. He's not getting as many as I did or have had. He didn't get as many days on earth as some of you and most of you will have. None of us know today how many years we do have on this earth. But every day ought to be fruitful and bountiful for the Lord. So I'm going to give you some thoughts that I'd prepared before I got the call from my wife. But number one, take care of your health. You're going to wish you had one day. Doesn't mean a whole lot to you now. You can eat all the McDonald's you want right now and to where your insides are petrified for eternity. But the truth is, one day you're going to care. One day it's going to matter. You can live a careless life now. You can smoke and drink your life away. You can leave here and put things in your body and things in your lungs that will one day hurt you. My grandkids brought up the other day, I was driving them home, and they just started talking about people who smoke. And I don't know how the subject came up, and that they were very analytical about it. And my grandson is very analytical, and he was telling, "Well, it does this and this." He's 10 years old, thinks he's a doctor. And this is what it does to the lungs, and this is what it does, and it's going to ruin their life. Pap, why don't these people understand that? And I'm thinking, because they're stupid. And he said, "Well, why can't they understand that? It smells," and he's going on and on. Everything he's ever been taught that's wrong with cigarettes, he was giving it to me, you know, like I smoke. And honestly, Timmy, I've never touched one. But the truth is, he's right. You know, and the questions they were asking, well, doesn't it hurt their life? Isn't it going to hurt them one day? Yes, Then why did they do it? He says, I don't have an answer for you for that. I don't have an answer. You know, and we live in a day where everything that we do at the present is because it's pressed upon us, it's peer pressured into us, it's cited into us, it's taught to us, and we live that way technically on purpose because it's our choice. But one day, your health is going to be shot, and all of a sudden you're going to buy any drug you can. You're going to go to any cancer clinic somewhere in the world where somebody has hope. And you know what? Cancer is going to be part of our lives. And some of you will get cancer. And some of us will get cancer. Even though we've tried our best to take care of ourselves. I understand that. But you don't have to put it in your system. You don't have to pray for it, basically. You can live a rebellious life and with no thought of tomorrow, but when tomorrow comes, you'll wish you had more tomorrows. I can take anybody in this room, and I don't care how carelessly you're living your life, and I don't care how much you want to take yourself out of this life, and I can hold you underwater for 5 seconds, and you'll start kicking and screaming, basically, and pulling and trying to get on top of the water. Why? Because you want to live. You're going to be that place one day. Take care of your youth while you can today. Number two, and this is simple, obey and honor your parents and leaders. And that's easy in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If you've ever read the history and the story of Oliver B. Green, you'll find that he lived a wicked, vile young life. And I think, don't quote me, but I think around the age of 20, somewhere in that realm, he got his life turned around and got saved and went to Bible college for 2 years. And he lived such a wicked, youthful life that he was in Bible college, I think, for 2 years before his father would believe that he was actually in Bible college. He had lied to his dad and mom so much, and he had cheated on them and stolen from them. They thought he was just up to his usual tricks and didn't even believe that he was saved and didn't believe that he was studying for the ministry. Until he had traveled the country and preached all across the country many times before they got the idea he was for real. And somebody asked him one day and said, Brother Green, Why do you work so hard? Why are you going with such long days and traveling so much? Why don't you take some time out and rest a little bit? He says, I don't have time to rest. He says, I lived a wicked, youthful life during my youth. My days will not be long on this earth. And he died at 61 years of age. And God doesn't guarantee everybody 70 years, but God does say this, that whatever your lot in life is, God will extend your life based upon your obedience to those over you. And number three, live your life investing in what matters. Live your life investing in what matters. All of you are going to spend a life making a living some way, somehow, some shape and form. You're going to have to earn income. You may own a business. You may work for a businessman. You may work as a blue-collar worker, white-collar worker. Doesn't matter. But you're going to make some kind of a business in life your business. And while you're doing that, don't make whatever that is the business of your life. And your life and my life should be used specifically for the Lord. Your job should be so you can make a living, so you can do business for the Lord. You may get into a Christian school and teach there and have to mow lawns in the summertime to offset your income. But what you do for the Lord will be around long after the grass has died. And long after your money is spent, and long after somebody else lives in your house, and long after somebody has scrapped your car out, what you have done for the Lord is what's going to matter. Live for things eternal. Enjoy today that bring joy tomorrow. And the joy that we will understand and we will fully express will be that in heaven with Jesus Christ, not showing off the things that we did in earth, but showing, being able to see the glory that it brought to the Son of God. Won't that be awesome? All the effort and time and work that you put into your bus routes and the gifts that you've given the kids on your route and the help that you've done and the Sunday school classes that you've taught all brings glory to Jesus Christ, and you'll get to see that glory one day. Time you spend living for others, and even the footprints that you leave for others to follow that become your legacy in life and that will try to live like you and try to live for you. You heard Brother Will Herrera give his testimony in church Sunday night. It was Brother Adam Longo, and I don't know how long ago he was in school. Sorry about that. That just came to me, actually. But you don't know, but it was Adam that brought and got William to come to church. And William has personally led in the last 2 years well over 60 family members, co-workers, and friends to Christ. The footprints that Adam left are still being followed. They're still being followed. And while you're here, make big ones. Make big ones. I mean, set a standard for other classmates to follow. Get a bus route going and leave people here that are still serving God, with bus workers that have been taught by you on how to knock on doors and how to bring people to church. Live your life investing in what matters. Number four, flee youthful lust. In 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and then prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, you're going to need to learn to like and to trust those that God has put over you. Listen to me carefully. Not everyone's going to be perfect. You're going to have mentors. You're going to have leaders that will disappoint you greatly. I wish that wasn't true. I wish I could say that everybody that's ever been up behind this pulpit and preached in chapel here is going to be a great example for the rest of your life. As I look through that yearbook from the second year of this college, I look through the chapel speakers, and many of them failed in life. They failed in the ministry. But listen to me. That's no excuse for you not to serve the Lord. The youthful lust that you have will be to want to get ahead. And if you look at somebody that is ahead in your eyes and they fail, you're going to want to go a different direction. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. Many of you, your parents have failed while you've been in school here. Some of you, your pastors back home have failed. Some of you, you've had some mentors, some youth pastors and school teachers that are no longer in church today, and they've hurt you, and they have kind of disowned their religion, so to speak. And that grieves you deeply, but that's no excuse for your relationship with God. None whatsoever. Because my eyes are on Jesus Christ, and so should yours be. Flee youthful lust. Don't let failures in adults give you a license to live rebelliously. You stay rich in faith, as the Bible says. Your faith in God. We, Bible says, we that are our mentors, we that are leaders, we that watch for your souls, we're going to give an account for that. Okay? God will take care of those who have failed. Your job is to still move on. Because truth is truth, whether somebody who taught it failed or not. It is still truth. If you had a mathematician that taught you 2 plus 2 equals 4, and they went crazy one day, it's still 4. And the things of God are still true and right. It doesn't matter how somebody lived them or didn't live them. You know what they are. You learned to read at the age of 2, 3, and 4. Some of you as a freshman. But you've learned to read. You know what this book says. And you will never be able to stand before the great God of the world and look Him in the face, the God that gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem your soul. You will never be able to look Him in the face and say, well, I failed, I bailed out because Brother Lapina messed up. God's going to say, so what? Jesus didn't. My Son didn't. You have no excuse to do that. That's not a license to fail. And last, live fervently today, begging God every day to use you. You know, God's will is good for everybody. And it's good for all time. You say, well, you know what? I'll live my own will. That's fine. But that's not good. God's will is good. God's will is good. You know, I'm done. It's a simple message. But as I drive to work in the morning, and a lot of times, most mornings, I'll listen to Scripture being read to me, and I hear thoughts and things from the Word of God. But the last few months, it's just been different. We've been at First Baptist. We've been to a lot of funerals. The COVID, last round of COVID, really hit our church hard, along with the regular attrition that you have as far as funerals and death, some timely, some untimely. And obviously, it just makes us think and look at our life a lot and realize that, you know, I'm glad, and this is not an arrogant statement, and I don't mean to be if I sound that way, but my wife can testify there's never been a season in her life that she's given over to the devil. There's never been a season in my life to where we were away from the Lord. There have been some days. There's been a lot of minutes and hours. There's never been a season that we have taken a hiatus from serving the Lord. And I know one day I'm going to look back at that and say, wow, I'm glad I didn't waste one season. I wish I hadn't wasted 1 minute. Some of you that have struggled this year in school, knock it off. Just knock it off. You don't have time to waste. There is an urgency about tomorrow because it's coming. And when tomorrow's over, you're going to want another one. And there will come a day where you will wish you had a whole lot more to give God. Father, we ask your blessing upon this message. I pray that it'll be a help. And as our minds are focusing on the last hours of our study here, going home and the finishing up of a semester and in a year, may we consistently be remembered about our future. God, use us. Use us. Help us not to waste any time. For this we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.